Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Touchscreen television. Let your fingers use a smartphone or tablet application, and we do say on your television set. More than a year ago, we showcased both the possibility and TouchJet, the company pioneering it via crowdfunding. On this day before Christmas Eve, TouchJet's Wave, the touchscreen known as Wave, is real and available right now. Chief Executive Helen Thomas joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. The exploits of an alive and adventurous crisis negotiator goes scripted New Year's night on CBS. Ransom stars Luke Roberts as the negotiator, and the behind-the-camera play is acclaimed writer and executive producer Frank Spotnitz. He will come on our stage live from Paris next half hour. And we size up the status of smart TV sets and devices heading into 2017 next hour with Zumo Chief Executive Colin Petrie-Normis. Also on tap, our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. Happy holiday season. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 3-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. A very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa weekend to you and yours. Welcome to a special 90-minute edition of the program All About Television. A lot to get to in the next hour and a half, and we're happy you are along with us. And we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, your voice, and using this telephone number with a question or comment for any of our guests ahead. The number is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway, you're catching us across the country, around the world, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room in business as well. You can put your question or comment in there. The place you can go is SimonApple04 by name, and you will find that chat room at our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Once again, that's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And joining us live right now, our first guest from San Francisco, California, the Chief Executive Officer of TouchJet, Helen Thomas. Helen, welcome back, and a very happy holiday weekend to you and your colleagues.
Hello, Simon. Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you, thank you. And we take that with a lot of pride. Well, Helen, a year ago we had you on to talk about TouchJet. You were completing a successful crowdfunding campaign to get it going. Here we are a year later. You're now available. How is it going 2 weeks into your sales?
It's doing great. We're actually short of product, to be honest, Simon. It's been an incredible journey, and the demand for this product is incredible. We're on BestBuy.com, as well as on our website, TouchJet.com.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from people who have actually been able now to use your product?
It's very positive. We actually could get inputs in terms of what people are using the product for. So Evernote, Netflix, streaming, lots of sharing activities utilizing Microsoft Suite as well, Office Suite. What is so interesting is beyond game planning and consumer activities, we're getting inquiries from hospitals, banks, different institutions in terms of conference rooms, meeting rooms, as well as school districts are testing the product for classrooms.
Remind everybody what TouchJet is all about. This is a device that allows your television set to become a touchscreen so that any smartphone or tablet app that is Android-powered can go on that screen, and you can either use your fingers right on the screen to manipulate what's happening, or you can use your smartphone or your tablet.
That's right, Simon. So first of all, the touchscreen is getting bigger and bigger. We all have experienced the explosion of iPhones, Android phones, and then the tablets. Microsoft even have a touchscreen laptop. But when it comes down to or goes up to 55-inch or bigger, the cost is very prohibitive. If you look at Service Hub, an 80-inch will cost you $22,000 for installation. And I think Jamboard from Google will be sold at $5,000 or $6,000 next year. TouchJet Wave is a device that you could attach in the center on top of flat screen TVs. It will provide touchscreen interactivity as well as an Android computer for your TV and transform it into a touchscreen tablet. With webcam, you can actually do video conferencing. So it's really additional, fully loaded, giant tablet for your TV, for the family time and the meeting time at just $299.
Guest 272 has just joined our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. And again, either the call or the chat room, we hear you and we will get you on the air one way or the other. Helen, what was the toughest thing about getting this on the air? For example, TouchJet could not go full, even though you had the money, and in fact you raised much more money than you thought you were going to have out of the crowdfunding campaign with Indiegogo. You had to wait until the Federal Communications Commission had to give you approval. For what?
Well, it is a consumer electronic product. So from the Wi-Fi certification to Bluetooth, it's just a general standard testing and certification. So as you know, we I was at BitFrog and LiveScribe. We work in the consumer electronic industry, even though it's a crowdfunding project. We wanted to make sure that the product is actually ready for the mass market. So that's just a routine procedure that we went through. And we were very thorough in terms of making sure the safety and all the, you know, wireless features are certified and tested thoroughly.
Now, along the way, when you had the crowdfunding campaign, Indiegogo, one of the things that you encouraged donors to do was if they pledged a certain amount and they came through the donation, they would get a TouchJet Wave. When will they be getting their device?
They are – some of the backers already got their device. So just to look back, right, at the beginning, we pledged a very simple device. Along the way, given the success of the campaign, we actually added webcam. So we are enabling more functionality than just a touch. Also, what we did was we had the TouchJet app for any smartphones. So even you are sitting on a couch, you actually can control the device and interact on TV with your iPhone and Android phone. So all of that is all packaged in, and everybody will get the best of the best. And so there's no difference in terms of early backers or later. So lots of them really got a very good deal when they just pledged $99. They're actually getting a $299 product.
We're speaking with Helen Thomas. She's the chief executive of TouchJet, the folks behind Wave. The new touchscreen television product is available right now at Best Buy's website and also on their website as well, which is, of course, TouchJet.com. Helen joins us live from San Francisco this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York, the other coast, on Blog Talk Radio. Glad you're with us this night in addition, coming your way the day before Christmas Eve 2016. If you have a question or comment for Helen, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and guest 272 is in the room. Next week, we'll be with you on Wednesday and Friday to wrap up 2016. And coming up on Wednesday at our regular hour, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, we'll introduce you to two women who call themselves the Selma and Louise of YouTube and smart TV sets and devices. They're called the Third Act. Their names are Judy Atkinson and Susan Staba, and they come up with an interesting scripted series based on their very unique lives. And they'll be with us live. Also, we will have our annual Tomorrow We Televise Remembers, where we pay homage one more time to the people in front of and behind the camera who passed away this year. People like John McLaughlin, Alan Thicke, Patty Duke, and many, many more. And we want to invite you as well to call and chat with me in your thoughts about people that you like very much who passed away this year. That's Tomorrow We Televise Remembers. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Helen, when will Best Buy introduce your product in their retail stores around the country?
That's a very good question. I think we're going to get in and have that meeting with the retail retail folks. We're actually working very actively behind the scenes with Best Buy for Business. They serve hospitality industry, education industry, healthcare industry. So this is all exciting. I think we have more opportunities than we anticipated. And I think being able to help people to have productivity is great. So obviously being in the retail stores for people to experience it firsthand is going to be very, very helpful. I think this is a see it to believe it kind of a product. So fingers crossed.
Are any of the retailers contacting you about trying to get into their stores ahead of Best Buy?
No. I think Best Buy really is the biggest TV retailer in the U.S., in North America. And we have a very strong relationship with Best Buy. So, we haven't heard from Target or any other retailers who are selling TV and would want to carry this product yet.
Speaking of opportunity, Talon, you have a big one coming up in 2 weeks at CES, the big consumer electronics show in Las Vegas that about 175,000 plus people will be there from countries all over the world. Are there any plans to exhibit there? And if not, when do you go public in terms of demonstrating what TouchJet can do here in New York, where you are in San Francisco and elsewhere in between in the country?
Actually, I travel a lot. I meet lots of people to show the product. I will be at CES. My main goal is really to expand the distribution channel. So I'm meeting with lots of distributors and some retailers at the show. I'll be more than happy to come to New York to show it. To people that they're interested. And I think it's going to be very intriguing.
When do you expect to be here in New York? And do you plan to go to press people and let's say, hey, if you don't believe it, now you can see it?
Probably right after CES. I love New York City. I think, to be honest, Simon, this is not something people don't believe anymore. Somehow I think along the way with all the innovations in the world, people almost take things, I wouldn't say take it for granted. I think it's really about the usability, the software that we develop, that we enable both the gameplay as well as presentations, productivity. I think that's what we want to really demonstrate when we meet the media.
Why do you think this idea of touchscreen television sets can work in the home? What about in creating this, what really inspired you to believe that this can work in a home environment, especially in an environment where you now have half the American public having smart TV sets and smart TV devices where they can watch Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, et cetera, and now in the case of Apple TV and Amazon Fire, to all sorts of apps from Twitter to Home Advisor on the television set?
I think it's very simple. I think one of the journalists actually wrote a blog 2 weeks ago about a three-year-old. I think when the young people grow up, they would expect the TV to be touchable. I think it's just the all-integrated experience. If you go to the mall, lots of the directories are touchscreen. I think given the revolution in terms of touchscreen that everybody is holding in their hand, the interactivity is inevitable. It's just a matter of cost. And there are other benefits in terms of having that direct interactivity versus just screencasting. So there are people skeptical. There are people referring to Miracast or screencasting as a replacement of this direct interactivity. I think we're just swimming upstream. We are enabling the TV to be a smart device and a touchable, interactable using your finger, as well as we're integrating other devices with the TV so that you can do a lot more among different devices. So we're not just about touch per se, but I'm glad that with a very low-cost device, we make the impossible actually available for anybody who wants to put in their playrooms as well as the living rooms.
One of the things that you talked about when you were here over a year ago is that you wanted to see families use television together as an educational tool, as a way for information, using some of these apps. Are you hearing anything about that from people in the 2 weeks that your product's been available?
It's interesting in today's world how much is said and how much is not said. I think, for example, we developed a game called Mass 24. It's actually a math game for two people to compete on the big screen to solve simple math problems with a time limit, and you get scored after 15 questions or 1 minute per question. I think that kind of application was not available in terms of multi people or more than two people would play and participate together. Board games, you know, is a family tradition for the Americans, especially around the holiday season. So I'm really excited to be here right before Christmas. You know, we do puzzles, we do board games, we spend time together. And why can't we do that on the big screen? It's very typical for us to see people spending time on their individual you know, devices. What we are bringing to the families is a common place that you could participate by either walking up using your fingers or use your device to interact with others. You can share photos among all the smartphones and look at them on big screen and put together a photo book in the middle of, right before Christmas dinner, for example. So it's really a digital enabling that we're putting into the family rooms. And I think it takes some time to communicate and to share the experience.
We have a call at home. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow. Tell us what's your name and where you're calling from.
Hi there. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Where are you calling from? What city?
I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Michelle, it's great to have you on the line with Helen Thomas. Go ahead.
Hi there, Helen. I'm really interested in ways. I'm wondering, other than the touch, what other devices can I interact with? I work in the office environment. I have an iPhone or iPad.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for calling in. And so in the office setting, in the meeting room, you could use your iPad Pro or your laptop, and you can participate in the meeting while TouchJet Wave would have so-called TouchJet Present. So that would allow people to not only seeing you presenting and swiping through your PDF or your PowerPoint, but also allowing them to participate using any of the devices that they have that are common in today's world. And you could annotate it, be captured, and the meeting notes will be shared afterwards. So those additional developments really allow TouchJet to be hopefully a must-have in terms of the interactive, collaborative experience in the offices. And thank you for asking that question. This is something that we developed along the way. So for people to have the way, it's very exciting for both the home use as well as for business use.
Michelle from Vancouver, British Columbia, thanks so much for the call and happy holiday season to you and yours. Helen, what is the reaction so far from the app developers themselves, the smart TV and tablet apps that can now get on your device? Have they heard any feedback from people using the product? And also, any chance that they might develop original apps just for TouchJet?
We are working with quite a few developers behind the scenes, and for example, for puzzles and some other consumer apps, people are very intrigued, and some developers for education apps, they are very intrigued as well. So this is just the beginning of their journey, I believe. And also, Simon, really, thank you for giving me the time to talk about TouchDead, because we are still a very small company and limited resources just to bring the product to life. I think we need a lot more communication and building the awareness so that the more people will join us in bringing this interactive, collaborative experience to more people in the world.
TouchDex Wave is the first television product for the plug-in device, set-top box, etc. One of the smart devices that actually turns the TV into touchscreen is now available for $2.99 at Best Buy's website. That's BestBuy.com, and also TouchDex's own website. We're speaking with Helen Thomas. She is the Chief Executive Officer of TouchDex Wave, and she joins us live from San Francisco this half hour right here on Tomorrow Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. Happy holiday season to you and yours. You have a question or comment for Helen and our other guests coming up in the next rest of the hour change, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. David Maldow has just joined our chat room, and we appreciate that very much. Our last episode of the year will be a week from today at 3 o'clock Eastern New Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. And joining us will be the people behind a new Apple TV and Amazon Fire app called The Film Detective. But here's the thing. This is an app that actually presents some very interesting buried TV treasures, including, get this, the only television pilot made by the master of schlock movies, Ed Wood. I'm not kidding. We will have the folks behind this interesting app. That's Phil Hopkins. He's the founder of The Film Detective. And Don Stradley, the editorial consultant. And finally, our very good friend, the editor-in-chief of the Programming Insider website, Mark Berman, will join me. We'll review the best and craziest of 2016 television, and we'll look ahead to 2017. That's all coming up on our final edition of Tomorrow We Televised for this year, a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Helen, how fast do you think the rest of the smart TV community is going to try to do what you're doing? I mean, have you heard any sense that Samsung, Vizio, LG, the major TV, Leco, the major TV set makers, as well as, let's say, Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple, et cetera, do you see them ultimately doing touchscreen capability?
Lots of people are doing touchscreen capability. I believe Samsung produced theirs, and Sharp has their line for touchscreen. And we all know Microsoft is, you know, selling their touchscreen, hub in terms of giant tablet, as well as Google announced their product. I think it's definitely the trend in terms of introducing this large screen touch capability. It's just a matter of what technology they use and what kind of cost and value they would deliver. I think in the general sense of entertainment, people see streaming as well, gaming as the main usability. I do believe that over time, because people are using their phones more and more, the integration that TouchDead has put in place will definitely be more trendy. It really takes people a while to understand what TouchDead really is about. By providing the touchscreen capability at a very low cost, I think potentially we can really move the mass market over into this whole integrated community experience. I'm very excited to work with, you know, board game companies, education developers, and the productivity cloud-based software companies in order to enhance the group communal time together. So I think lots of people are doing it. It's just that whether it's affordable to everyone, and when it's affordable, what do you do with it? So this is actually a pretty big market in terms of participants, and huge brands are leading the way. We're a little sort of a ship in the big ocean. I think we're just moving in the fleet in terms of bringing a bigger digital world in our time.
Apple TV a year ago had about 1,000 apps. Right now they have near 9,000, and they now include things like StubHub, like Papa John's ordering pizza, e-books, all sorts of games, children's material, the home security camera app. We put a home security camera on that you have 24/7 on your television set, and so forth. When will the Apple TV app developers, what we call the iOS and now tvOS apps, when will they be able to be on touch on your service?
We are on the Android system, not on the iOS. I think the world kind of works in a way that because it's a smart app, could work on different things. For example, TouchJet app works for iOS, works for Android. I think the system is really behind the scenes. What consumers experience is really what device they have and what they can do across them. So, of course, different things. So TouchJet Present will be available for Apple TV, for example, and for any of the developers that are doing apps for Apple TV, as long as they have an Android app, they can be ported on TouchJet Wave. So I think the world is really all together. It's just the two systems, and it goes back and forth very easily.
Helen, one holiday season from now, Christmas week 2017, where do you want TouchJet to be? What kind of new apps, let's say, new services, new features do you want? And where do you want to be with this company and what it can do?
I think I would like to see three things. One is I'd like to see as many waves as possible all around the world because it's so affordable and it provides a web camera, allows you to do Skype very easily. So given the low cost and given the experience we are providing across all platforms, I really want to see as many devices as out there as possible. And that's exactly why we work so hard to keep the cost low, to make it affordable. I think my number two wish is that I'd like to have one of the top communal games that people would use for family time together. Either you're doing a max 24 every night to have a competition so that, a fifth grade student can compete against a grandpa on simple math, or there may be, Monopoly or some other games that we could port onto Wave and the four people or more can actually play together. I think that would be a transformative experience in family. And the third thing, I think that we can liberate and enable teachers and the parents to collaborate and help. We can do algebra easily across the big screen and the small screens. We can teach kanji characters by integrating this kind of experience. So I'd like to see a trend and an adoption of our platform for education across the school family, student, teachers, and the parents. So those are my wishes for the Christmas next year.
And as we await whether all those wishes come true or not, we have one more thing. David Maldo in our chat room had a question for you. Is there a way to connect your product to a traditional keyboard? For example, if you wanted to use TouchJet to collaborate in a room with a team on a Word doc, could that be done?
Right. So two things. One is in TouchJet app, you can use your phone as a keyboard with Wave as of now. For the traditional keyboard, I think if you have a wireless keyboard using a USB connection, you could have a keyboard on your coffee table and just because we have USB ports on Wave, so you can easily connect your keyboard to Wave anytime. So that is done today.
Touch and Wave, the first example of touchscreen television available in the United States and around the world, is now available at Best Buy's website at www.bestbuy.com. That's www.bestbuy.com. It's available for $299.99. You can also get it directly from the company's own website. That's www.touchjet.com. www.touchjet.com. And we'll let you know when if Best Buy will make the product available in their retail stores coast to coast. Helen Thomas, the Chief Executive of TouchJet, thank you again for joining us. All the very best to you the rest of this year and 2017. And all the very best for a wonderful holiday season and a great rest of you. Congratulations on finally getting your product off the ground. It's been a pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Simon, for having me. Happy holidays to you and everyone across the country.
Same here. We look forward to having you maybe a meet face-to-face in New York and see the product firsthand. All the greatest, Helen. Take care.
Thank you.
Helen Thomas, the Chief Executive of TouchJet, joining us live from San Francisco. More Kawabi televised ahead after some words from the fine people at Audible.com. If you're still looking for a wonderful holiday gift, whether it's Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, here's an idea. Give your people in your life sound like these wonderful audiobook titles from Audible.com. Making Magic in the World by the wonderful author Maya Angelou. And how about this radio treat, A Christmas Carol, originally done in radio by Orson Welles and Lionel Barrymore. How's that for a team-up? Well, if you want to get that, here's how you do it. Get a free trial to audibletrial.com. And here's how. audibletrial.com/televised. Use that URL and get connected with audible.com. It's a leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up on audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook of your choice and 1 month trial and great customer service thanks to the fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So give people on your holiday shopping list the great, great gift of sound that lasts 24/7 all year long and beyond. AudibleTrial.com/televised. AudibleTrial.com/televised. The people you give the gift to will be very happy you did. When we come back, we're going live to Paris, and we're speaking with the acclaimed writer, executive producer of The X-Files and the man in the high castle, Frank Spotnitz. His latest creation is Ransom, and it premieres New Year's night on CBS. He joins us live from Paris after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Talk Star Wars, Rogue One, the Star Wars movies, and what's ahead. Talk Star Wars every week right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best meet you on the 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to Kawabi Televised on this Christmas Eve, day before 2016. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead of the hour ahead, give us a ring. It's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. /televised, David Maldo is still in the room. Coming up later this half hour, our contributing question of the week. Well, you wouldn't believe it a couple years ago that a television network, even a broadcast network, would produce and do a show, an original show, on New Year's night. But two networks are. One is Fox with the Mick, and the other is our next subject. It's Ransom, and it's the latest work from an acclaimed writer-producer whose credits include The X-Files and, more recently, The Man in the High Castle. Joining us live from Paris, an innovative exclusive, Frank Spotnitz. Frank, welcome back, and a very, very happy holiday season to you, your family, and friends.
Thank you. Same to you. Nice to be here.
Tell us about Ransom. It must be very exciting that CBS is going to kick off their year with your show.
It's very exciting. It's an interesting show because it's about a world that I never knew had been hostage negotiation. There's something like 30,000 of these that happen every year around the world where the police are never involved. So this is about a private negotiator who goes in and negotiates to save people's lives.
How did this world come your way?
I was approached by some producers actually in Paris 2.5 years ago who had met one of these guys, actually a guy who's considered one of the best in the world. His name is Laurent Combelbert. He's a Frenchman. And they asked if I wanted to talk to him, and he's an absolutely amazing figure. As you can imagine, he's extremely intelligent, very focused, and as it happens, he has great insight into how he does it, how he gets people to back down off of impossible demands so that he can save people's lives.
Did you have a chance to talk with him before you started work on Ransom?
Oh, yeah. I met with him at least 6 times and talked to him about many of the cases that he had negotiated. You know, he's done thousands at this point. And he has an album, which are letters and photographs he's received from the kidnap and hostage victims whose lives he's saved. And it's quite moving, as you can imagine.
So tell us more about how this project is happening. It deals with not just the hostage negotiator, but he has a team of people that are working with him. What kind of cases do they handle?
So it's a really wide variety of cases all over the world. And what typically happens is the hero, Eric Beaumont, is called in to negotiate, and he'll realize there's something that doesn't make sense. There's some kind of mystery that has to be solved in order to conclude the negotiation. So his team, he has like a second, a young woman named Maxine Carlson. He's got a psychologist, Oliver Yates, and a former police officer who serves as his investigator, Zara Hollum. They go and they sort of help solve the mystery that allows him to conclude the negotiation each week.
And Eric, the lead role is played by Luke Roberts, who's someone that people have come to know from a number of shows, one being Game of Thrones, another being Wolf Hall on PBS, and the other, which I think probably the best known, is Black Sails, which is going to its final season also, I believe, at the end of the month, end of January on Stars. How did you get him for the role?
I had met Luke a couple of years ago, actually, and was really impressed with him as an actor. And he read for this part, and this is actually while he was still in South Africa doing Black Sails. And as soon as I saw him read, I thought, this is the man for the role, because he really conveys Eric's intensity and intelligence. And also what's really interesting about Luke is, you know, he's a really physical, strong guy. And I was really struck by this guy who, you know, if he wanted to, he could probably beat most of these people up. But instead, he uses his mind to defeat them, and I thought that was a really interesting quality that he brought to the part.
This is a very unique production for you because it's not just your production company, which is based in Europe, but also you've got three television networks have a direct involvement, CBS here in the United States, but you also are dealing with Global, the television network in Canada. You're dealing with TF1, one of the major networks in France. And we also point out you're dealing with Entertainment One, which is fast becoming one of the major TV providers all over the world.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a lot of partners. It's a very complicated production. But what it does is it gives it a true international quality. So we shot 13 episodes, and we did production in Toronto for the first 8. And Toronto sort of doubled for cities all across North America. And then the last 5, we moved to the south of France in Nice, where we got, you know, spectacular locations for different parts of Europe. So it was really a very unusual but really cinematic production.
Frank Spotnitz, the famous writer, producer on The X-Files, also the last year the executive producer of the popular series on Amazon, The Man in the High Castle. His latest work is Ransom, and it premieres January 1st, New Year's night, on CBS. Depending on where you are in the country, the time is different. In the Pacific time zone, at the West Coast, it'll be on 8 p.m. Eastern time. In the Eastern time, in Central time zone, it'll be on either 8:30 or 7:30 p.m., approximately after NFL football, the NFL on CBS. Thanks for joining us live from Paris this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, Inter Radio Exclusive. Simon Applebaum, we're live from New York. A very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, et cetera, to all of you this coming weekend. And if you have a question or comment for Frank, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Just 289 is in the room, and you'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up next Wednesday on a special edition of our show, you'll meet two women who call themselves the Selma and Louise of YouTube and smart TV and smart TV devices. They're known as the Third Act. That's the name of the weekly show that they do on YouTube and on smart TV sets and devices. And their names are Judy Atkinson and Susan Stala. And they are very, very unique. They play themselves, and boy, they get in some really interesting adventures. We'll learn all about it from both of them. They're with us Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Frank, you're also working with a collaborator on this one. Tell us about David and how you found him and what's it been like to work with him in a very personal way on this series.
My co-creator is a wonderful Canadian writer named David Vainola, who just brings a lot of intelligence and thoughtfulness to this, an incredible amount of research. So I think one of the great things about watching this show and working on it with David is that it's not only, you know, suspenseful and emotional because people's lives are at stake, but you feel like you learn something. And I think David was really good about bringing to screen a lot of the real life negotiating strategies and tactics that Bear uses. You know, we actually think he uses it to manipulate people. That's not a word that Laurent uses. He says he uses it to influence people. But nonetheless, there are methods you could use to try and get people to agree with you. And some of the best episodes, you feel like you get a little insight that you might be able to use in your own life.
Now, a real negotiator, Laurent, did he pop up on a set at all, or have members of his team pop up to sort of give you any guidance, to give the actors any guidance of, well, here's how I might handle the situation, and maybe you should try the same thing in some dramatic way?
Absolutely. Laurent and his negotiating partner, Marwan Mehri, they read every script. They'd look at all the dialogue and make sure that what we were saying was accurate and tracked. And they'd offer suggestions sometimes for different negotiating tactics we might have our team employ. So the cases are not are fictional. You know, they've been invented, but they're based on real situations that that Laurent might be in, and the strategies that are used are absolutely authentic.
As you know, in your country or in your continent, there has been a lot of terrorism cases. Of course, the latest being early this week, the bus that rammed into the Christmas fair in Berlin, which killed, I think, like 30, 35 people. Is there going to be a rip from the headline quality at all in this series in terms of, so similar to what Law & Order has done and its follow-up shows have done for years?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of episodes that directly address terrorism. And the truth is, what I've learned is that negotiating with terrorists, which we do, even though our government denies it, you know, that's a prime example where they employ private negotiators to negotiate because the government doesn't want to do it directly. But those are the hardest negotiations, when people have an ideological conviction that is driving them. But even in cases like that, it is often possible to have a nonviolent outcome. And I think that's one of the things that I find very hopeful about this show, is that you see that in many cases, these terrible acts can be stopped if you can understand the psychology of the people who are committing them and get them to compromise and stand down.
Mm-hmm. The first time we had you on the program, you were doing Transporter, the second season for TNT. And that's a program which mm-hmm. is very big on the main character. You know, the main character is pretty much in every scene, and you've got to write, you know, with that in mind. When you're writing a program like The Man in the High Castle, or you're writing a program like this, Ransom, where there is a main character, but there's also a team of people, how does that impact the kind of writing you do, the kind of directing that happens, the kind of work in cinematography, like up and down the line in terms of making the show?
Well, I think, you know, a show like Transporter or Ransom, it's an episodic show. It's kind of the same format that I began with when I did X-Files so many years ago, where it's a case of the week. And so you're following your main character and you're following his team, but it's like a short story format where every episode is self-contained. And you give everybody something interesting to do, hopefully, in each episode. Shows like Man in the High Castle or another series that we have on right now on Netflix called Medici, Masters of Florence with Dustin Hoffman and Richard Madden. Shows like that, they're very deeply serialized. So you've got a large cast of characters. It's not episodic. It's not closed off. Their lives are progressing and changing from episode to episode. And that's a very different challenge because you realize you're only going to pass that moment in time once. And so you want to make sure that you've really investigated that dramatically before you move on to the next episode. But for me, it's really fun and rewarding to go back and forth between these different forms of storytelling, which is, you know, it's one of the reasons why this is the best time in television ever, because there's just so much richness to what's on offer for viewers.
I was talking last week with Alan Fox Williams, the cinematographer on DC Legends of Tomorrow, And one of the things that you notice is that TV has become more cinematic because of more scripted shows and all the places where you can do scripted, CBS included, that the shows have become more cinematic. They're edited in very unusual ways. There's efforts to do black and white, subdued color, things like that. The characters are not always in the center of the screen, a la what Tom Campbell doing Mr. Robot, and so on. I'm curious what kind of look you were going for with Ransom to make it distinctive.
We really wanted it to be a beautiful show. One of the challenges of Ransom is that it is an international series. Every episode takes place in a different city. So there is no sort of home base for the show. We're always on location every episode, which is really challenging and not like most TV shows where, you know, a significant portion of every episode normally is on a standing set. So we looked for really beautiful and cinematic locations, and the way we composed our shots and the way we lit our shots, we wanted that to be our hallmark. And I think when you see the show, it really is beautiful. Because that was consciously what we were trying to capture. That's the one constant, because everything else changes from week to week.
Frank Blandis is the co-creator and executive producer of Ransom. It's among the first two TV series of 2017 that premieres New Year's night on CBS. Depending on where you are, it will either be at 8:30 Eastern and Central Time or approximately after NFL football. And the West Coast, it will be on at 8 p.m. Eastern, or 8 p.m. local time. Frank joins us live from Paris this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell a Lie. Simon Applebaum here with you on this Friday before the holiday weekend, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever holiday you celebrate. We hope you're having a great one, or we'll have a great one starting tomorrow night. And if you have a question or comment for Frank, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, but then gets 289 is already in the room. 1 week from today, we'll have our final episode of 2016, and joining me will be the people behind a brand new and very interesting app on both Apple TV and Amazon called The Film Detective. And it's not just about rare films, it's about rare television shows. Did you know that Ed Wood, the master of schlock films in the 1950s and 60s, made a television pilot? Well, The Film Detective has it. We will speak with the founder of the project, Phil Hopkins, and editor of himself, Dan Stradley. That's all coming up, along with our good friend Mark Berman of The Chroming Insider, discussing where TV has gone this year, where it might go next year. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, special last year-end edition of our show, right, for 2016. And it's 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Frank, since you brought it up, we've been wondering what's happening with Medici, the Dustin Hoffman starring vehicle. Last time you said that it was already ready to be seen, I believe, now in European television. And you said that Netflix carrying it in the United States?
Yeah, we got a fantastic response in Italy. It was it actually broke records in Italy in October and November. And now it's available on Netflix in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K.
And any initial reaction from the folks domestically about the show?
It seems to be doing really well. You know, they don't tell us the viewing figures, but I've noticed that it's been trending on the homepage as one of the most watched series, which is great because it really didn't have a lot of promotion. It was sort of announced at the last minute Thanksgiving week, and I think people have just been finding the show, and there's been a lot of traffic on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So it's I think the word of mouth has been really strong.
It's shaping up in 2017, Frank, is going to be a big year for you and your production company. You've got Ransom kicking off CBS on New Year's night. You've got Medici now in business here in the United States as well as around Europe and so on. What else are you planning for your production company and your activities in TV next year?
Well, I'm hoping Man in the High Castle will be back for season 3. And next month we are starting production on a comedy drama series starring the comedian Russell Peters. That's called The Indian Detective, and that'll be on later in the year.
Any word whether I understand it's going to be carried in Canada, but any word if there's going to be a U.S. distributor?
There definitely will be, but that's to be announced later as well.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about the big boom in scripted television, and as the folks at FX just announced, there were over 450 shows, original series, produced this year. The outlook is, with all the activity going on and all the projects, all the efforts to get more diversity on television, that 500 is definitely in the cards maybe more. What do you see going forward as the challenge for everybody in the field to do distinctive television, like what you're doing?
Boy, it's a really good question. I think the first challenge is just to do great television. I think the competition is so intense now, it's not enough to do a good show. You have to do a show that somebody likes more than anything else that's out there. So the bar has been raised incredibly high. But then the second challenge is to get noticed, because there is so much noise. There's so many shows that are competing for people's eyeballs. And, you know, a show like Man in the High Castle, I'm so grateful that Amazon really promotes it and it gets noticed. But, you know, other shows like Medici on Netflix, you know, that's a show that's really just had to rise on word of mouth and viewer excitement because it didn't have that massive promotion. So I think that's the hard part for people like me, for producers, is first to do the good work, which is always difficult, and then second, to get the good work noticed.
Think about this, though. One of Netflix's biggest hits this year was Stranger Things, which was a show that nobody, trust me, knew about. Critics, journalists, because it was not public, Netflix did not publicize it at the start, and it was a show that word of mouth just basically let it rip, and the show is now on many of critics' top 15, top 10, top 20 lists.
That's right, and I don't know, because they didn't necessarily explain it explicitly, but I do think, you know, platforms like Netflix are sort of counting on word of mouth to be a driver for a lot of these shows. And I guess, you know, you could argue that it works because of Stranger Things and because of the reception that Medici's got. I mean, we've only been on since the 9th, and the number of viewers who seem to be watching, just, you know, anecdotally, has grown hugely. And that's all down to people talking about it, I guess, you know, with each other and on social media. So it's a different way of marketing. But I still think it's possible that things could slip through the cracks. You know, that there are some things that aren't going to get noticed unless, you know, they get attention. So my philosophy is always do everything you can, you know, to try and make sure that the good work gets noticed.
Before you go, I did want to mention Man in the High Castle, because one of the things that I'm very moved by is that opening title to Edelweiss. And I wanted to ask you, you know, how did you or whoever come up with the idea of using Edelweiss, you know, a great song from The Sound of Music, which is a song about sort of patriotism for a country, out of somebody's belief, to make that the subject of the title. It's one of the most, I think, really moving opening titles I've seen in a long time.
Oh, thank you. I'm really, really proud of it. And it was a controversial decision, to be honest. There was a lot of disagreement about whether that should be the music behind the main title, because it is unsettling. But the editor of the pilot episode had heard this Japanese woman doing a recording of Edelweiss. And it was kind of like the version that we have on our main title now. It was really a strange version of the song, and she wasn't really pronouncing the words in English properly. And the more I thought about it, the more appropriate I thought it was, because obviously it was a Japanese singer. It was a song, an anti-Nazi song, but from an American musical, you know, from Rodgers and Hammerstein, and The Sound of Music. And so it just sort of ticked so many boxes. And when you listen to the lyrics, it's so sad and touching, especially the way we've arranged it for the main title. And I think, you know, that main title, which I'm so proud of because it really does say a lot, is about the promise of this country, you know, which is really, you know, our country is an idea that constantly needs defending. And the strength of that idea depends on each generation standing up and fighting for what a country is supposed to be. And I still get chills watching that main title now.
Frank, what do you hope, aside from admiration for what hostage negotiators, crisis negotiators do, what do you hope people will get out of Ransom?
Well, I think the thing that has really struck me, because I have to say, when I first met Laurent Combelbert, I thought what he did was very frightening. The people he's negotiating with are murderers and very violent people. But what he helped me to understand was that even these people who do terrible, terrible things are still people. They still have a psychology and a humanity. It may be hard to see, but it's there. And the fact is that Laurent is able to reach that humanity because he studied these people and what makes them tick. And so it really gave me hope that in this troubled, violent time we're living in, there is a way to resolve these problems. There is a way to resolve them, and it doesn't involve, you know, having to shoot and kill people. It involves just using our minds and being really smart. And I think, you know, that's why I'm really proud of the show and really excited to be putting it out there on a big platform like CBS, where it's going to reach a wide audience, because I think it's really saying something valuable and useful for people to hear. And it's really entertaining.
Ransom begins its run New Year's Night on CBS. And it will run depending on where area or country you're in and whether football comes on before it or after it. On the West Coast, it'll be on at 8 p.m. local time. On the East Coast, approximately 8:30 Eastern, right after the NFL on CBS. Check the local link to the CBS station in your area. For more details about the program online, go to CBS.com. Also, don't forget Menacy, available now on Netflix, co-starring Dustin Hoffman, and Man High Castle Season 2, available at Amazon Prime, Amazon Video, presentation of Amazon Studios. Frank Splanitz, the co-creator and executive producer of Ransom, pleasure to have you again. All the very best this coming year to you, your family, your production colleagues. Hopefully Ransom will run not just one season, but for a long time. And again, we appreciate you coming on. It is always a pleasure.
Oh, such a pleasure for me. Thank you so much, and happy holidays to you too.
You too, Frank, the greatest. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Frank Splanitz joining us live from Paris. Once again, Ransom, 8:30 or 8 o'clock, depending on where you are, January 1st, New Year's night, on CBS. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you know the answer, email me at pineapple04@yahoo.com or tweet the hashtag TWBT, and you can win the new book, BritCom's FAQ from Applause. We gave you the question on Monday. No winner yet. That's why we're going to repeat it again. We're going to see if we can try to get a winner before this year is out. Here's the question. In what state will you find Twin Peaks? In what state is Twin Peaks located? In what state, the state, is Twin Peaks located? Of course, Twin Peaks will be coming back through Showtime next year with many of the original cast, and David Lynch and Mark Frost, the creators, writing all the scripts, Lynch directing all the episodes. If you know the answer to that question, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your full name and address. You can also use Twitter to get the answer in. Just use hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. The tweet works. Promise you that. And Twitter options made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch, the folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. Learn how at www.hopscotch.com. www.hopscotch.com. And if you just missed the question, no problem. I'll repeat the question on tomorrow on my Facebook page and on my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. We'll keep the question going throughout and into next week, throughout the weekend and next week. And hopefully by Wednesday's show or by next Friday's program, our final one of the year, we will have a winner. But remember, you got to be in it to win it. And if you do and you're first, you win BritCom's FAQ from Applause Books and Cinema. So get involved. SimonApple04@yahoo.com or tweet the hashtag TWBT. Either way, be in and win. This is Tomorrow Show Live. We're going to talk all about the tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, normally 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Next week, Wednesday, Friday schedule at the same hour. Following week will be Tuesday, Friday, coming off after the New Year's Day weekend. So be sure to tune in. And remember, coming up next Friday on Tomorrow Show Live, we will have the folks behind the new Apple TV and Amazon app, the film detective, the founder, Phil Hopkins, and the intro consultant, Don Stradley. And Mark Furman, our very good friend from the Programming Insider, the wonderful website that tracks the world of TV. He'll be along with his thoughts about where TV's gone this year, where we'll go next year. I know you'll enjoy it, because it's always a pleasure to have as a guest. So be sure to tune in 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. When we come back, Where have smart TVs and devices gone this year, and where will they go next year, especially with the service that my next guest is putting on? That service is called Zumo. The chief executive, Colin Petrioris, joins me from San Diego, California, after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You are Texas' best internet radio on the planet. It's blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. And it's your home for the Golden Age Psychic Hour with our good friend Andrew Aloha. Catch in tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best VTR mail with you 24/7 at YouTube.com. And don't forget that our episodes without 2016, they're available 24/7 too in two ways, at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and at iTunes and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Welcome back to the Long Televised on this episode before Christmas Eve 2016. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. And we have some great action coming your way with our next guest. So if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway to catch us country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Track remains open. Simon Apple 0418. Use it if you can. Guest 29 already in the room. This has been, as we've said over and over again, a very big year for smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More than half the American public has one, the other, or both. And on those smart TV sets and devices, one of the newest attractions is a service called Zumo. And my next guest is the person who runs that place. Joining us live from San Diego, California, the founder and chief executive officer of Zumo, Colin Petrioris. Colin, happy holiday season to you. Welcome in.
Hey, Simon. Happy holidays. Lovely to talk to you again. How you doing?
Very, very well, thank you. Colin, when it comes to this year, what do you think of smart TV sets and devices? How far have they come along with people?
Do you know, smart TVs, it's a great question. Smart TVs have for some time now been trying to work out what service or role do they play for consumers? Obviously, 10 years ago, a television was just a monitor on a wall, right? It just, whatever you had you had your cable subscription, and maybe you had an Xbox or an older game console plugged into it, but the TV was really just there, and they focus on great picture quality and screen size and the like. But what they've started to realize with smart TVs is, the entire media ecosystem is assembled at that point of is assembled in that screen. With a rise of internet connected devices, and these TVs being smart, they have realized, the manufacturers are realizing, that they have a much more important role to play in helping people find great content. Obviously, a lot of people talk about the boxes that are connected to it, but I think smart TVs are starting to come into their own in terms of their software, their services, and becoming more important to the consumer.
Important to the point where you have Apple TV now with over about 9,000 apps, and through Apple TV alone, you can order merchandise through Amazon, you can order pizza through Papa John's, you can order merchandise through Guild Group, you can use services like Zillow and Home Advisor and Airbnb, you can now put your home security camera, if you like, on the TV set and watch that as long as you like. We have Film Detective that we will have on the air next Friday that gives you rare movies and TV shows, and you now have, apart from Apple, you have, as we mentioned in the beginning of our show, you now have the touchscreen television era beginning, where you can use a device like Apple TV or Roku or Chromecast, a plug-in, a streaming stick, a set-top box, to literally turn your TV into a touchscreen and put any smartphone or tablet app you want on the set.
Yeah, but that goes what you're saying, Simon. It's just to the power of it goes to the processing power on these TVs, the memory. I mean, it used to be like a smart TV had the capabilities of a really poor cell phone, but they are really high power devices today and can do an awful lot, and their boxes as well. But really, what the best thing that TV does, and it's still people talk about the rise of mobile and about how all these other screens are capturing the typical consumer's attention, but TV is the beast in hours per user of consumption in the United States, and it really is still about entertainment. People still, that big screen, there's nothing like it. When you've got these 65-inch 4K pictures now. It is all about that end of the day or in the morning, just entertain me. You know, we at Xumo started off with, you know, we bring sort of free streaming channels right into the tuner of the television that you can access without having to go through a complicated app store. You know, we started bringing content into the television just over a year ago, and sort of, you know, and our you know, rolling out very quickly across the U.S. And we have different types of content, different things are available. We have all things from short form sort of, you know, clips of people called fail army, people having, you know, so people having silly accidents, all the way through to movies and documentaries. And really, it is amazing today to just see how much people watch and enjoy and consume great television content. It is still at 5 hours a day per household in the U.S., which no other screen comes close to.
But as we're learning also, Colin, this is how people are watching content off the internet or streaming or with something called over the top. I call it Next Generation Television Network, like Netflix. We just had Frank Spotnitz on. And Netflix,
yeah,
which just got his Netflix show with Dustin Hoffman, which, by the way, is not publicized in the United States to any great extent, and yet he can get the show on Netflix, and people can watch it. That's how they're watching it, through the smart television set or that smart device. That's how they're watching
mm-hmm.
Hulu. That's how they're watching his Man in the High Castle, for the most part, on Amazon. And the research and the anecdotes seem to be becoming more and more clear that these devices are allowing the Netflixes and the Hulus and the Amazons and the Xumos of your world to get an audience.
Yeah, and you know, that's, you know, we're at an exciting time. I think there's been companies for years trying to sort of figure out OTT, and it's always been, you know, it's just that little bit too early. The scale wasn't there, or the consumer adoption, and you know, services like Netflix and Hulu have just revolutionized the way content is consumed. You know, we had an interesting perspective that we watched through some of our smart TV partners. You know, when the iPhone first came on the scene, and Steve Jobs got up and did that amazing speech on stage, and he revealed the iPhone, and it was all about apps. And everybody was, my goodness, what apps? This is What a different way to get content on my mobile phone. And very quickly, the smart TV manufacturer said, well, we need app stores. We need to put app stores in, because that was what's happening in the iPhone. People loved it. But the way people use apps in their TV is different to the way they use it on the phone. It's not the user UI, the controls aren't quite as good as that sort of touch input on my screen. Sometimes it's much more basic, left, right, up, down, and so I can't get through things as quickly. I need to work harder to find my content. So we, you know, apps are still an incredibly important role to play, where people are prepared to say, this is one I want to look for. This is content I've heard about. This is a show that my friend has told me about at the water cooler. But I think we're seeing a new type of digital streaming happening into televisions. A lot of big manufacturers are doing it. We're partners with LG on a very advanced program where it is presented just like a normal, I'm going to call the word, old-fashioned television channel. The stream looks just like a channel up, channel down, and I get to a show on TV. Instead of being delivered over terrestrial signal over these, you know, satellites and antennas, it comes through my digital tuner of my television. But I can move from the discovering a great show just by channel surfing. I can then go into an interactive mode from that show. I can learn more about it. I can see other things from this producer. I can see last night's episode. I can get to an interactive experience, but I start off with a very simple one. And there's still a huge part of the United States population. I mean, folks like yourself, you're very, you know, so you're tech advanced. You're happy to. You're familiar with, you know, app ecosystems and how to navigate them. But there's a lot of the United States, a lot of people around the world who just don't know what I want to watch tonight, and they just want to find things really easy. So I think there's this contrasting trend of more complexity, more available, but the need to simplify it, the need to make it more easily accessible, so that you don't have to work too hard. It's entertainment after all. So, you know, that's something where, you know, that's something I think is a trend for next year, is simplifying a complex ecosystem with thousands and thousands of options available for users, make it really easy to use.
Is LG about to roll this out? Are they going to announce this at CES in a couple of weeks? Or is it something that's going to be rolled out later on in 2017?
We actually announced it with CES in January last year. So the beginning of this year, we rolled out to 2016 WebOS 3.0 TVs across the United States. In fact, if you have an LG WebOS TV, you can enable a Channel Plus service today. You know, we have now hundreds of thousands of users. It was just a few months ago it started rolling out, watching for hours a day, streaming channels, which they weren't able to access through their cable lineup. You know, there is the cable world, there's the broadcast world, these incredible brands, these great guests, these people you talk to. But they're also guys that are, you know, emerging digital stars that have great digital content, that have a role to play in the living room and in the television. And so we're able to bring both of those together. So LG today, we're going to be making a few more announcements. Actually very excited in a couple of weeks going back to CES. Going to make some more announcements around some more content, actually some really big content brands. More the household brands going to be announced as being available to Zumo, and also a couple of big manufacturers as well coming online with the service.
You're listening to Colin Petrie Norris. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Zumo, with the programming service that's available on smart TV sets like LG, as well as smart TV devices like Roku, Google Chromecast, and so on and so forth. He joins us live from San Diego, California this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from that other coast known as New York, where it is 47 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us on this day before Christmas Eve 2016. You have a question or a comment for Colin? Don't be shy. Get the voice going and the phone going. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name gets 289 in the room. You'll find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Colin, who are some of the programmers that are providing you with content for your service?
I'll tell you a little story. So, you know, when we started Zumo, just over 2 years ago, it was officially launched. We looked at the television marketplace and we thought, you know, let's talk to everybody. I mean, we have a great way for somebody who has great key content. We've got a great way for them to get into smart TVs across the U.S., get really, you know, it's a really easy access and high discoverability to our users. And we talked to everybody. We talked to the big guys. We talked to the Discoveries, the Showtimes. We talked to, you know, all the way to the ecosystem, or, you know, we talk to MCNs, the guys with YouTube stars in their portfolio. We talk to, digital brands that only emerged, you know, and you know what? Something really interesting sort of occurred. The large sort of household brands that have got so much invested in quote unquote traditional delivery have a lot of risk of transitioning to OTT or OTT-type delivery. And so, because the ecosystem is so well established, the financial model, and what does OTT look like? And so there was some caution there. You know, there wasn't like this, I want to leap right in and just go hell for leather into this new OTT-type delivery. But we found brands, BuzzFeed was one of our early ones, but we found sort of the magazine companies, Condé Nast and Time Inc., with big studios producing incredible content. Brands like Sports Illustrated, that used to be a magazine on your, you got your front door. So, you know, with the studio, putting out hours of live content a day. And these guys were like excited about television, and they had something really important to say, and actually content which would really be, you know, resonated with the US user. And so we built something for those guys that allowed these brands that you know and love to on digital properties. Maybe you know them on your mobile phone, maybe you know them on your desktop, but we gave them the ability to have a channel in television. And we went from 20 or 30 brand, you know, channel partners in January this year. We're approaching 100 right now. Some of our biggest brands are companies like Newsy, the EW Scripps news channel. It's millennial focus. It's short, cutting insights, really interesting. We've got the Young Turks. We've got brands like we've got the big magazine brands. And we are starting to introduce back into some of those bigger traditional companies now, because the scale is there, the audience is there. People want to see things streaming over devices. They like the ability to go and choose what I want to watch when I want to watch it. So, you know, that. So it's been a move. The world is changing. There was some caution there, but I think we're starting to see a real acceleration from every brand to embracing over-the-top streaming. I think you'll see. Carry on.
Yeah, I want to point out that along the way this year we saw the emergence of a set of networks or services that are subscription that are using the smart TV set to get distributed, like CISO, Full Screen, Alpha, which is an interactive programming service from Legendary, the filmmakers. I'm curious, how many more of these do you think are going to be showing up, let's say, in the year or two ahead?
You know what? My projection for 2017 is you're going to see a lot more of companies, brands wanting, and at the end of the day, here's what they want, Simon, is they want the direct-to-consumer relationship. You know, they don't want to be disintermediated. A brand wants to know who their user is. They want to know if it's their male, female, young or old. They want to be able to have a conversation with them. That's the expectation. And so every big content and video brand wants to have that direct relationship. You're going to see a lot of subscription SVOD services, niche services, companies starting to be able to take out a subscription. But we are actually, we're very focused on the free, the ad-supported content, because there is an enormous amount of great quality, high, you know, even up to 4K sometimes, beautifully produced shows that people were, you know, just looking for an audience for. So, you know, that, you know, you will see a trend. I do theme it as companies crave the relationship with the user. They want to see and understand, know who they are. They don't want to be hidden through, you know, they want to be hidden behind a cable package where the cable company knows everything, but I don't. And so I think that's the trend. I think that's what you're going to see. You know, why you're going to see a lot more of that direct-to-consumer type of delivery by the big brands and smaller ones.
One of the most remarkable things, Colin, about this year that will be ending next weekend is that we now have half the American public or more that are using these smart TV sets and devices. And it comes across that the device makers and the set makers themselves are not publicizing, are not promoting, are not really getting the word out about what these sets and devices can do. You look at Apple TV, and they don't do anything in New York or Los Angeles or elsewhere to showcase these apps and app developers. They've been very coy about what they say about Apple TV in terms of their announcements. It seems to get back burner status compared to other things. And in the case of other makers, I have yet to see an announcement for this Black Friday, Cyber Monday period, the holiday shopping season, you know, announcements for Vizio, LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Sharp, JVC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It seems nobody wants to promote the services that they have. Are you getting a sense, too, that the public is finding out how to use and watch these sets and devices in spite of a lack of attention, a lack of publicity, a lack of getting the word out?
Do you know, Simon, I would say that there's a spectrum, right? I think you get brands, companies, and manufacturers which, you know, have a different role to play relative to others. And I think what you've got here is you've got hardware companies that have for decades focused on, you sell TVs because you've got great picture quality or brightness or contrast. But they're learning, and then you've got a company like Apple that knows, or Roku or anything that knows that you sell hardware with services. And you've got this merging together. I mean, you need great hardware to deliver good services. And the manufacturers now, as their hardware has got the power, are thinking that, okay, well, now's the time to start talking about my services. I will say, I mean, the manufacturers we work with, some of the biggest ones, the brands you can find us on, you know, our biggest partners are Panasonic, but LG is a very important partner for us. Vizio, we're on Vizio televisions. What we're seeing these guys do is really bring beautiful services, well thought through, well designed, easy to use. And there is a new generation of televisions coming out to the market that I think, you know, are going to start changing that perspective. That will rival a set-top box or a cable box. You know, because, you know, and I'll say one thing, and from my own experience. You know, do you want to be rooting around? You know your way around HDMI cables and inputs and boxes and ordering things and on your hands and knees behind the living room sofa with wires coming everywhere. There's a big role to play. Just buy that television in the shop, come home, plug it into internet, and boom, everything is there. So, you know, I think you're going to see an acceleration, a steady acceleration in this area by the TV manufacturers. And I would say, go have a look. Go have a look what's there. There's some very clever, very powerful facilities.
And by the way, Colin, I think before we move on, that in the case of these transactional services, like what Apple TV is doing with Airbnb and Zillow, Papa John, StubHub, et cetera, Apple has got to step the pace up in terms of telling people what these are all about. And also, the companies themselves, like Papa John and Amazon, have to get the word out to the public nationally. I still think it's amazing to me that Apple TV is the first to introduce a service where you can buy any Amazon product through the TV set, and Amazon Fire TV does not have it. I'm just stunned. And we're still waiting for an answer, by the way, from Amazon. Zillow is the plumbing service that we are talking about, along with the state of smart TV sets and devices. And we've got the person behind Zillow, Colin Petrie-Norris. He joined us live from San Diego. He's the chief executive officer of that company. And you want to know more, by the way, about the company, Zumo.com. That's Z-U-M-O.
If I may just say, it's XUMO. This is one of the last letters in the lineup, but it's XUMO.
Right, I got that. There we go. I just got that XUMO.com, and we'll say it again before the end of the interview. Anyways, Colin joins us live from San Diego, California. This half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live. Simon Applebaum, we do live from New York. Happy holidays, whatever holiday you celebrate this weekend, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, et cetera, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We still have time for a question or comment for you, so get a call in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. A few weeks ago, the TV Tomorrow show here in New York, Colin, I saw Echo. Formerly Interlude. Samsung backs them, Sony backs them, MGM backs them. They want to do interactive programming where at any point you can change which way the show is going. They're working with CBS on a revival of Twilight Zone, working with MGM on War Games. They're already up and running on Facebook and other social media. And you get the sense that very soon they're going to get into the smart TV set, probably with Samsung. What's your outlook in terms of interactive programming, the ability for people to choose their own way the show is going?
You know, I remember, Simon, I was 7 years old or so, growing up in South Africa. One of those great books where you could choose your own ending, right? You could, Johnny goes down the hallway, does he turn left or right? And, you could go in one direction or another. And I think maybe, although I personally, how much work I want to do when I'm watching TV, you know, I'll leave that to the folks to decide. I think what we are seeing is how programmers are using data and what consumers are actually doing in real time. Maybe not that users are choosing to interact, but just by staying engaged and choosing to watch this show over that one. Programmers can actually tailor their offering, you know, much more appropriately and much more, make it much more interesting and appealing for users. Again, I'll do this on, you know, again on Zumo side. Our offering relative to that is, you know, we watch what consumers love. So in real time, we're tracking all the videos people are watching. We're ranking them by what has got highest view through rates or what people are saying tuned into the longest. And when we curate a show, when an 8 a.m. show comes up from Condé Nast Traveler magazine, you know, we will create at that moment the best 30-minute episode of content. We'll compile that for a user to make based on what's really hot, current, or interesting in the market right now. That used to be something you would have to do months in advance on traditional television. You'd have to think about what I was going into my show. Now, using great data and watching what people love, you know, we can actually create shows and programs and channels dynamically for users. It's early days here still, but you can go. The results are you can have somebody, instead of watching for 5 or 6 minutes, you can keep somebody engaged or you can give them something for watch for an hour and a half or more. So ours is a slightly different view of it. I do think there's a role for using data to create good content. Netflix is so well known for their recommendation engine. But I think it's about sort of, making sure consumers get what they want.
Yeah. You know, Colin, there's so much more that we could cover. For example, virtual reality, augmented reality, and what chance it has to get on the television set. And also the fact that Sinclair, the biggest station group in the country, it will be launching early next year an internet content multicast channel, which should be very, very interesting. But unfortunately, we are out of time. We got to have you back. It's really been a pleasure, Colin, to have you aboard. Colin's company is called Xumo, X-U-M-O. It's a programming service available on LG, other smart TV sets, and smart devices. If you want to know more what devices and sets they are on, here's where you go online, www.xumo.com. Zumo.com. It's X-U-M-O, Zumo.com. Colin Petrino, the Chief Executive Officer of Xumo, joining us live from San Diego, California. Colin, thank you so much for a great, great half hour. We got to have you back as soon as possible. Have a wonderful time at CES in a couple of weeks. And, of course, from all of us to you and your colleagues, a wonderful holiday season, a great rest of the year, and a fantastic next year.
Same to you and same to all the listeners. Have a great holiday. Thanks all.
You're welcome. Take care. Colin Petrino-Norris, live from San Diego, California. I want to thank all of our guests, Helen Thomas of TouchJet, Frank Spinas from Ransom on CBS coming New Year's night, and Colin from Xumo in San Diego for a wonderful 90 minutes, and all of you, of course, for tuning in. Remember, next week, we are with you Wednesday and Friday. Coming up on Wednesday, the duo behind the third act on YouTube and smart TV sets, Judy Atkinson, Jerry Ackman, and Susan Stars. Susan Staba. And coming up on Friday, the people behind the new Apple TV and Amazon app, the film detective, founder Phil Hopkins, and editor of his own, Dan Stradley. And our good friend Mark Berman of the Farming Insider to kick off the year of what may be coming up in 2017 and looking back to at 2016. If you came in on the show late, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, throughout the holiday weekend, you can check us out on our podcast. That's available at iTunes.com. And if you have Apple TV, check out the iTunes podcast app. It's there 24/7. You can download it to your smartphone tablet either way, take it on the go, take it to friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And remember, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it is headed? We'd love to know. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. However you get communicating with us, we appreciate it. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. And he tells Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Al Levy. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. For everyone at Blog Talk Radio, have a wonderful holiday weekend. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa starting tomorrow night. And remember, if you're going out anywhere, please don't drink and drive. If you need to, get a visiting rider to take you home safe and sound. We're back next Wednesday and Friday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there this holiday weekend. Until next time, stay well. And stay tuned.